Oh, you've reached Dominic Rosacci. Ah, shit.
Hey, pronouncers, welcome back to the show. Excited to have you. Something a little bit different today. I told Steven, I was like, you know, some of our good just chit chats are over the phone. Why don't we just call a couple different shops, see how things are going and what they're actually working on right now. What are they struggling through? So that's what we do today. We called Ryan at Printed Threads, who runs all of operations. Maybe he's president of Printed Threads, but he's just taken over that aspect while Brett continues to scale sales and high level cultural things with Printed Threads too, and all the numbers stuff. We also called Dominic at Superior Inc., who's growing his business, but he's growing it 2 hours away. He's moving his huge shop from Denver to 2 hours away and going through that process now, which is huge as well, and a lot of things that he's working on. And lastly, John Gibbs at Logo Daddy and all the scaling stuff that he's dealing with in Q4 and what he's excited about and worried about. So let's jump on in right after we share a few notes from our partners. Stalls, which we were just visiting them in Chesterfield, Michigan. Such a fun time. Stalls is the leader in heat pressing solutions that help take custom apparel to the next level. Whether you're a small business just starting out or an established brand that's scaling, Stalls makes the hustle easy. But wait, there's a code, Hustler20. Hustler20, that gets you 20% off your next DTF transfer order. Get the equipment, transfers, and support your business needs to stay smart and stay ahead. So head to stalls.com. Actually, I was texting Frank Good about some equipment stuff. Yeah. Anyway, stalls.com. Thanks, guys.
Bruce, have you heard of Multicraft _ Daddy? He is just making the best videos right now on Instagram. Head over to Instagram, type in at Multicraft_Daddy. If you need ink supplies or a daddy, Multicraft screen printing and digital supplies for over 50 years has been providing you with top brands at competitive prices. You can mention the Printavo podcast and receive an extra 10% off your order. Dave gives away a case of free PMI tape for every episode. All you have to do is DM him on Instagram and he will pick a winner. Subscribe. Dave's awesome. So go follow him. Leave him a nice comment. Buy from Multicraft. They take great care of us. Thanks so much, Multicraft. We appreciate you.
easyway.com/giveaway. Head to that website, go there and put in your info, because they're giving $250 in product credit every single month. Easyway is launching this new giveaway program and they've offered it to our audience. So that is really cool. Be able to head there. easyway.com/giveaway. Easyway is making reclaiming screens a whole lot easier, so you, Steven, don't have to spend time cleaning dirty screens. Thanks, Easyway.
Bruce, do you need a solution to improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department? Well, you can go to Graphic Source. They offer industry-leading outsource options for your shop. By truly becoming a part of your team, they plug and play with Printavo and other shop management softwares. So when it comes to SEPs, mocks, creative art, order management, embroidery, digitizing, back office admin, and customer service, there's no better company in our industry to work with. With over 40 years in the game, they really know and understand shop needs and have a proven track record of success. You can hit up Graphic Source for all of your art staffing needs. Use code PRINTAVOPOD24 for 50% off your first vector, SEP, or embroidery order. All right, let's get to it.
Let's jump on in.
Oh, you've reached Dominic Rosacci. Ah, shit. Message, and I'll call you back.
Oh, he's calling back. He's calling back.
Bruce.
Yo.
Yo.
You guys there?
Yeah, we're here. Let me call you in 10 minutes. I'm talking to this Printavo. Do you know Yona?
Yeah, I know Yona, of course.
I'm on a meeting with them. Let me call you right back.
All right, tell him I said hi.
All right, we'll do.
Okay. Oh, Ryan. Ryan's free at Printed Threads. Ryan.
Hey, can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
How's it going?
Good. You, just to abide by local laws, you are live, so don't say anything that your parents wouldn't say. You're live on the Pronouncers podcast with Steven and I. Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, man.
Okay. We wanted to just check in with random people, see how things are going. Curious, how's this week been going for you?
Going pretty well, man. I'm actually on my way to a executive leadership retreat. So, feeling pretty good right now.
Ooh, what's the leadership retreat?
So Vistage is a group that you pay to be in, and thanks to Brett at Brett for paying for me to be in it. But you get to be in a group with other executives and all types of businesses and hear what challenges they face, and they hear what challenges you're facing, and you kind of work together to figure out solutions to those problems. And it could range from personal life to business to really anything. So,
Ryan, you're the president of Printed Threads. Brett owns it. What's it like to be an employee but lead a company but have an awesome owner like Brett Bowden?
Man, it's really, really fun for me. I get to make a lot of the decisions and have a huge influence on the business, but I don't have to endure all of the stresses that the owner has to do, which is kind of what, you know, my goal was going into this with him. I was curious what it would be like to run a business, but I didn't want all of that stress. So it's been kind of opposites, but that actually works well for us.
I feel like people want to get to a spot where they can have a Ryan that manages everyone's, you know, all the operations, and they can fully step out and go do other things. If a shop wanted to hire a Ryan, what do they look for? Like, what is the skill sets you feel like that you do well that you bring to Printed Threads?
It's always a hard question, because you got to, I guess, sort of look for the best in yourself, which isn't always easy. But I think what has helped me is I'm just naturally curious about how things work. I was that kid that took things apart to figure out what was wrong with it, and then you know, paid close attention to how it came apart so I could put it back together. And that, you know, kind of an engineering mentality, I think, that has done well on the process side and just learning, you know, the craft and how the business works. But definitely, like, also a people skills component, being able to communicate and work with people of all types, and really just try to help whatever it is, whether it's the business or the person, grow and develop. You know, I have a very strong interest in how are we going to get better together? So I think that's really the secret sauce. Most of everything else, whether it's, you know, learning the finances or, you know, learning just how shirts get made or whatever the case may be, can be learned. But if you don't really have a curiosity and a good set of people skills, it's not going to work.
Ryan, how are you... I know you're on the road, but how are you different than Brett? Meaning, if you're going to hire this leader for your company, you don't necessarily want a clone of the founder. How are you guys different, and how do you guys roll off each other?
I mean, Brett is very much about the bottom line and, you know, how quickly can we make money, and, you know, what is the next thing we're going to be doing to increase our revenue, increase our profits. And he pushes on me in the business in ways that can make us really uncomfortable. And so I think, you know, you need somebody that will say, hey, man, that's a great idea, but you got to think about XYZ that's going on in the business right now. You know, somebody who really understands the ecosystem and just all the inner workings of the business at any given moment to really figure out the implementation strategy. Like, it has to do with timing. It has to do with what resources are available, all of that stuff. And it's impossible for Brett to really keep tabs on all of that, because one, Printed Threads is not his only business. But two, he's just always out and about and networking and kind of forming those relationships that will become our future. So I'm much more the here and now.
When do you think is the right time for a shop to bring on someone like you that manages all of the operations? Is there a revenue marker? Is it a people marker? What do you think? Like, were you too late when you got brought in, you feel like, or could it have been done earlier?
I think it probably could have been done earlier. I think it bringing on someone like me, I wasn't cheap. You know, it was a financial risk, I think, for Brett at the time to bring me on. But it was hard for me to come in with the business where it was and really get control of it. And I believe around that time, it was around $3 million in revenue. And, you know, he had just grown it very, very aggressively over those first 5 years. So 5 years old, $3 million in revenue. And, you know, he was doing every bit of it himself. So it was a little bit out of control. And we really struggled those first like 6 months to get me acclimated and kind of figure out which way was up and where we were going to go. So I would say probably somewhere between 2 and 3 million, but I think it also really depends on what's going on in your business. You know, we were doing he was doing a lot of different things too, screen printing, embroidery, fulfillment, you know, just about every single thing you could do in an apparel decoration business. And that made it challenging as well.
I think one of the coolest things, and you're going to an executive leadership retreat today, is even though Brett's the founder and you're the president, he's still investing in you to continue to develop professionally and create your own network and your, you know, your own acumen. And I think shops listening to this can take a page out of that and say, like, what am I doing for my leadership team to help them grow, learn? What's their continued education? How are they networking and bettering up themselves? So pretty cool. And also a good coincidence that you're on your way to a retreat.
Yeah, definitely. And I would say, you know, I mentioned Vistage as the one I'm in. It's pretty expensive, but there are, you know, I went to other leadership groups before this that were not as expensive. And, you know, I started as VP of operations and moved up to president. So I originally attended a group that was just, you know, for lower levels of management. And we've sent our production manager to one of those as well, because boy, you talk about somebody who's really at the hub of the business. Like, your production manager is dealing with the front office, they're dealing with production staff, they're really dealing with every department. So that's definitely one place I would invest in, you know, some growth and development resources. But yeah, it's good for everybody from the bottom to the top, man, as long as you can afford it.
Was there the last question, and we'll let you go. Was there a mistake that was made, you feel like, in the first 6 months that could have helped you ramp up easier? Because this is a role, especially if you come from outside the space, could be really hard to tackle everything. Maybe Brett was awesome at that, but I'm sure there was like improvement as far as, oh, I would have slowed this down, or I would have sped this part up.
Well, it's really hard. I think in my unique situation, Brett was not really there. He and his family had, kind of as a result of burning out, they had essentially sold everything they owned and bought an RV and started kind of trying to see the country. And he needed a mental break from the business, so he left it in the hands of some managers he had there. But so my first 6 months, I was kind of learning from the employees of the business rather than directly from him. And I really think that's what was the most challenging. Once I kind of was like, hey man, I can't do this on my own, at least not at the beginning. He ended up coming home and putting that traveling thing on hold and diving back into the business with me. And that really made all the difference. So certainly you can't look to someone like me to come in and just be the Band-Aid, step in and just figure it all out. It really takes a partnership between this role and the owner to, you know, to really do it together.
I like it. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. Have an awesome time at your meeting.
Right on. Talk to you guys later.
See you, Ryan. Ryan is just like, what the hell did I just get into?
I was just switching my mic. What'd you think? That was kind of cool.
That was kind of cool. Catching him off guard.
Yeah, I always like Ryan is a very thoughtful person. Some background, he runs all of the operations. I don't know what the title is, like head of ops, or
I think he might be president.
COO. Is
he
president? Maybe that is. And so,
yeah,
you know, his job was to take off everything moving from Brett. So Brett can do, like he was saying, the networking stuff and sales stuff and numbers things. And I feel like that's a dream of a lot of shop owners. And so hearing from him and his background and just how much of an investment this is, like it's a, you know, if you're ready for the true management, I'll call it, that's sort of what it takes, especially to ramp him up and be able to invest in someone like that.
Yeah. I think my favorite part is when you put Ryan and Brett next to each other, right? They're very different. Their personalities are much different. And they kind of fill each other's voids. Right. And so where, you know, Brett has a million and one ideas, Ryan is there to implement it or bounce off of, but can also be financially, you know, responsible for the decisions that they're going to make. So pretty cool dynamic.
You're right. Yin and yang. That's a good question. Okay. I got another one. Hold on.
Yo.
You are on Print Hustlers Podcast Live with Steven and I.
Oh, we're live?
We're just, Bruce has been watching too much Dave Ramsey and he just wants to start calling people. So who better to call than a shop owner that's moving their shop and moving 18-wheelers back and forth? That's who we wanted to bug today.
I'm literally pulling pallet jacks right now as we speak.
That's amazing. You've been posting on your Instagram just like this crazy move. I mean, this unbelievable warehouse. You're moving from Denver to what's the new town called?
Fountain, Colorado.
Fountain, Colorado, and it's like 2 hours away?
Yeah, it's about an hour and 40 minutes from Denver, south of Colorado Springs. Oh, it's the biggest thing I've done since the beginning, for sure. Well, you know, we just decided that manufacturing in the city of Denver wasn't really sustainable. You know, the costs are going up, and we could have a bigger facility for less money here. There's really good employment opportunities. You know, people need jobs down here and they're used to manufacturing, so it made sense. But yeah, it's I slightly underestimated what's involved in moving. I haven't done it in 10 years.
What's involved in moving, Dom? How many truckloads are you guys how many truckloads,
dude? We're probably estimating about 35 26 foot Penske trucks when it's all said and done, and then we've had two flatbed Conestoga flatbed trailers.
35 full trucks?
35 full trucks, yeah. I mean, between product, 3PL, equipment, and then just 10 years of stuff, you know? The interesting part of a move this size is not having a bunch of cash going into it. This is one of those Hail Marys, like, oh, we'll figure it out as we go. Well, you know, it's funny because Ryan Moore, this like 6 months ago, he's like, oh, did you guys build a budget? And I was like, oh, that would probably be smart to do. But with something like this, there's so many unexpecteds and so many variables. Like that's what we're talking about with planning and logistics too. It's like you can't hire a staff at a facility that doesn't have equipment. You know, we have 26 production employees in Denver. 5 of them are moving. The rest we're going to have to rebuild. But, you know, you have to facilitate brokering out work until you have a functioning plant again. And you can't really start recruiting staff until you have a facility to work in. So we're at like stage 2 right now, which is building out the facility. And then next week, if everything goes as planned, then we'll start working interviews, working training.
So when did you guys start the move, and how long do you think it'll be take to get like presses spinning?
So we moved 3PL the week of October 2nd. The week of the 6th, we started moving equipment. The week of the 13th, we're going to have staff in here doing working interviews. And the week of the 20th will hopefully be operational. But that's assuming that like all the permitting goes through and there's no hiccups with plumbing, drains. I mean, this was a bare bones building, you know, like this was the Apple building in 1987. So it's 300,000 square feet. We're occupying 20 for production. There's 40 in between us and Brist, which is a partner company of ours. They do all cut and sew, and they broker out screen printing. So yeah, it's logistically, like, it was a shell of a building. So we had a decent TI budget that these guys from the building owners. So they, that covered like dropping power. It covered drains. It covered, I mean, really, that's it. Like, we have no break room, no offices. And we were talking about like how culture is going to change going from one facility where all the creatives, the admins and production are under one roof to like, now we have just a plant in the middle of nowhere. What's culture going to be like? Cause admins are remote and then factory workers are obviously the only people physically there. So that's what Steven and I had a couple conversations on, like, if you can build culture once, you should theoretically be able to do it again. But we're going to see how that goes with a whole new workforce.
What is the scariest part of this move for you, Dom?
You know, the scariest part's the unknowns and the variables, you know, like everything has to line up perfect. We're literally down to each hour of the day being valuable. But I think the most challenging thing is, like, how do you effectively just turn off your shop? Like, how do you just completely turn everything out and broker 100% of your work for a 3-week period? And are you transparent about that with your customers? Do you say, hey, we're moving facilities, so we're going to, you know, we're going to broker your stuff out? Or do you just business as usual? And then if anything happens, then you just take it on the chin. And it's just a, you know, part of the process. But that's the scariest thing to me is, like, now we lose all of our control. And it's when you start brokering things out to that level so quickly, it's just, it could be death by a thousand cuts for these relationships that you've built for years and years. You know, if things go wrong or you miss deadlines or the quality is subpar, then we risk all of the expense and time of doing a move like this and then degrading some of the relationships so that when we do turn back on, you know, we hope we still have the revenue and we still have the flow of business that we can maintain.
I got one more question. I'm going to let Bruce go. What if, has it ever crossed your mind as you're driving, what if the brokering goes really well?
Yes. Yeah. We thought about that. And honestly, before we pulled the trigger moving here, we thought about, I mean, we kicked around the idea if that is our future. Like, what if we just start brokering everything? But I think we quickly learned, like, through that process that the systems that we've built and the way that we execute is really hard to emulate, and it's taken a long time to get there. But I think the fact that we're so out here and our cost, like the cost savings of being here and just having a really solid system and foundation, I think we'll continue to keep it in ourselves. And then if we just ever have bandwidth issues and we have a really good partner and outsource what we can't do physically here, but we always have night shift opportunities up here too, you know.
Are you planning on moving too?
No, I might as well be. I'm here every day, but my plan is to get settled and get staff trained, and then I'll probably commute one day a week.
Got it. And then so you'll have some small office or something like that, or are you just fully remote in Denver with the front office staff?
Yeah, so the other confusing thing here too is, like, what do we do? Like, do we have a presence in Denver? We need to have a flagship in Denver so that we can maintain that address. So we'll still have a presence in Denver, a showroom, kind of like a community work zone, like an HQ, and then the factory out here.
Makes sense. How do you think about buying this building versus, or buying a building versus finding one to rent?
Well, that's a good, it's a sensitive subject, man. I told myself I would never move again unless it was a building that we purchased. And that has always been the plan. But this opportunity fell on us, and I felt like if I extrapolate this out five years of being at this facility, we would probably be more profitable than if we were to pull the trigger on a building. I just don't know what the plans are 10 years out. And I think a building and owning a building is kind of the long-term play, the retirement plan for a business owner operate, but it wasn't in our cards to do that in Denver. And certainly, nowhere in Colorado, because if you get outside of like the Metro Denver, there's really not a whole lot of buildings that can accommodate like this size. You know, you go to the Western Slope, it's either expensive or they don't have big enough buildings. So yeah, I mean, we've I wish we had the play to buy, but I think the goal is to get in here for the next 5 years, run as lean as possible, and start hopefully generating profit for once.
Dom, you've always figured out a way to make it happen. And your Instagram is by far one of the funniest, most entertaining shop socials. So we are wishing you the best of luck, but we know you're going to figure it out and it's going to be sweet on the other side.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the encouragement. Yeah, it's all you guys too, man. Just talking with you guys, and you know, I know this is a crazy idea, but that honestly is part of what fueled it. When I told people we were moving a fountain, they're like, dude, you're nuts. And that was just like, all right, well, now I have motivation to actually do it. I got to prove people wrong. Hell yeah. All the close boys know it'll work, but you know, from the outsider's perspective, it is a wild idea. And I don't disagree with that, but we're going to make the best of it.
Well, we're excited to see you next time we're in Denver, Dom. Thanks for picking up while you're driving a forklift or a 16 wheeler or something.
You got it, fellas. Thanks for calling. Appreciate you.
See you, Dom.
You guys have done a move. That sounds
35 truckloads.
Dude, you know what I got from that though is the cost of business ownership in cities, of just how expensive it can be. Necessarily emphasize this, but sounds like, you know, overhead, city regulations, labor, you know, rent, all of the things make it difficult to really scale a business like that enough for him to push the business 2 hours outside the city.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have asked, like, would you ever move production up north or whatever? And the answer is like, heck no. We have land, building, labor's good, you know, like, and that's why you see big manufacturing going to rural, right? That's where these Amazon warehouses are popping up in the most random places, right? Because it is really expensive to run manufacturing in metropolitan areas.
All right, I got one last one.
Hey there.
John Gibbs, you're on with Stephen Farrick, myself, on the Print Hustlers podcast. You're live.
Great. Awesome. How's it going, guys?
We have got 5 minutes of questions that we want to ask you, and then we'll go to your regularly scheduled program. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you guys?
What are you doing? What's your schedule like today?
I actually just got off the phone with Frank and put in a large screen order with him. So, and we talked for about 30 minutes on the phone because I haven't talked to him in a while.
How's Logo Daddy been this year? We're entering Q4 now.
Yeah, Q4. We're actually, we are swamped. So we signed some good contracts, or we kind of freshened up some contracts with a couple of our larger customers, and they've, like, our biggest customers almost doubled the amount of work they were sending us. And so that's been exciting. And then we had another local shop, a young shop. They've been in business like 3 years, and they have a lot of opportunity for work, but they were having trouble producing it. So we got together, and now we're producing all of their work, and they've basically shut down their production at their place and sent it all to us. And so we expect that could push us pretty hard through the beginning of next year. They have a lot of good work from like January till March. So we're excited about that too. And they're in here working with us in our shop. So we are bursting at the seams right now.
Are you able to, like, does this work without adding extra overhead, or do you find yourself getting the same problem of top line growth, but also so does?
Yeah, it's great. Good question. So it does add more overhead, only because we have to staff back up to be able to handle all the work. But we were, I'll say, staffed up before. You know, before we were at about 23 people, and we cut that back about 5. And so we really need to go up now. I think right now we're 21. We probably need one more person so that we can continuously run all 3 autos. Because we do a lot of heavy finishing. So our finishing department really takes a few people too. So it does add more overhead, but the amount of work that's going to come through is still going to push our profits, you know, much greater. So we should be in good shape. But it's one thing that I watch a lot closer now. I try not to add. We really, really focus on not adding anybody and getting the work done. But the amount that we have coming through here now we have to put some people in some places because we're just a little too thin.
John, do you ever think about running like split shifts or extending your days longer or like night shifts or whatever? Or how do you think about overstaffing or making up for it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have been doing that. So we've been on 410s now for about, in production, we've been on 410s for about 6 or 8 months. And our team loves it with the 3-day weekends. And we like it because what we can do is we have had some of those customers, like some of our customers, if they need something turned around quick or it's really high priority, we can bring a crew in on a Friday and work that Friday. And our customer will cover it. You know, like we'll just tell them, hey, we have to bring in, we have to pay overtime to get this done for you, but we can get it done if you want to pay it. And most oftentimes they're okay with that. And so it's allowed us to get more production out that way. But we have talked a lot about some split shifts, like overlapping different shifts. We're actually even doing it with breaks and things like that. Like with lunches now, we're sort of overlapping lunches and doing some different things so that we can, so there's no press shutdown time. We just keep everything spinning, keep everything warm. And we're seeing that, I don't know, I think my production manager is tracking it. I think we've been getting around 4 more jobs a week out just splitting up lunch shifts. So, wow. Kind of interesting. I know.
What are you most excited about for Q4? Q4 is also the craziest time of the year, but as a seasoned business owner that has great workout routines and lifestyle balance, what are you most excited about for Q4?
So, well, this Q4 in particular is going to be challenging just because we have added so much. So we're going to be, you know, we're shifting positions. We're doing a lot of stuff like to move to really, we're looking at processes in every position, right? Like what can we add on to who? Where can we take things away? How do we make this process better for that particular employee? And so I think Q4 is going to be really challenging for us, but it's really because it's, we're having this like kind of growth spurt and we have this, these new opportunities. So, but I'm excited about it because I also think we're going to be busier this Q4 than we've ever been. We're already right now for one of our large customers, we're printing, I don't know, it's about 10 pallets worth of Black Friday stuff. And so, you know, that's, we're already doing Black Friday and doing all that. So it's like, I think Q4 is going to be great for us. I'm really more excited about Q1 of next year because that's traditionally a quarter that's really hard for us and we've lost money a lot of times in that quarter. And this year I think it's going to be different. I think with some of the new opportunities we have, those, they're going to make us very profitable in that first quarter, which is going to really change. It's really going to change our landscape a lot of the year. You know, it's going to be, that's always been our challenging quarter. So Q4, I think is going to be busier, but then in Q1, I'm going to be definitely swamped, I think. So it's going to be good.
That's awesome.
My production manager just ran in and said, call me.
That's all good. Dude, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing. What do you think is that the hardest thing that you're working through now, which is the scaling part, or what would it be? Like, what do you think about
at home? Yeah, I think so. That's the hardest thing I'm working through right now. We, actually it's funny. My wife and I both, her role, she got a new role about 8 months ago and it's been really challenging for her. And then my thing started building back up, you know, or we started getting these great opportunities about 6 months ago. And so both of us have just been like, it's funny because yes, we're always, you know, I come in at 10 o'clock after my workouts and I have a pretty free schedule. And now like yesterday, I got in the shop at like 6:30 in the morning and I worked with my team all day. And then I went and printed a live event for Grimco until about 7:30 last night. So we've been putting in some time too. But it's, you know, I still have a pretty free schedule if I needed it to be. I'm enjoying the growth and the opportunities right now. So like, I'm actually enjoying coming in and putting in long days. So
hell yeah. Thanks, John. I appreciate you sharing.
Yep, for sure. Guys, have a good day.
Thanks, man. You too.
And that was John Gibbs at Logo Daddy. Very cool of him to be able to share. It sounds like he's got a lot of great expansion going on, but yeah, it's always interesting because that definitely can bring on, oh wait, should I buy more stuff? Do I need more space? Do I need more people? And, sometimes the profit just ends up being the exact same as what it was before for some folks that we've had on the show. So anyway, those are really cool. Hey, if you guys enjoyed this episode, we thought about doing something a little bit different. Drop a comment. Let us know what you think. We'll see you guys on the next Print Hustlers podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications, and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.